that back.
Blog Talk Radio.
Get another look. Out there, how are you? I hope that you're dreaming. I hope that you're discovering. I hope that you're excited and exploring things. I hope that you never give up on your dreams. Keep dreaming. But more importantly than dreaming, keep the vision going. The vision, whatever that vision is a positive vision of your future. Hold on to it. Do not give up. No matter how hungry you are physically, let that hunger for all the things that you dream of be part of the mental food that you need to stay motivated. So there's a plus, a real plus in dreaming and visualizing and hoping and exploring all of the things that are part of what we call positive psychology, positivity. There is actually a term, positivity, that I'd like you to explore this morning or this week. Take that with you, positivity, because that's one of the best forms of mental food that any of us can grab hold to. We've got someone already on our switchboard this morning, and we're hoping that this looks like our loyal board member here. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. That sounds like Dr. Beverly Polnitz.
Yes, it is.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear from you this morning. This is right up your alley, this kind of stuff.
This is a wonderful morning. It's a wonderful day. Plenty of sunshine. Everything is going my way.
That's all right. I thought you was going to break out of that song with from Uncle Remus.
Exactly. That's where it came from. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-yay.
What was the name of that movie?
What a wonderful day.
What was the name of that movie, Uncle Remus?
I don't know, but it was such a wonderful
Zippity,
album.
The name of the song, I think, was Zippity-Doo-Dah, Zippity-Yay. Wonderful feeling, wonderful day.
Yes.
Right.
Exactly.
Plenty of sunshine coming my way. So, you know what? That's great mental food there.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, we talk about singing and music. And as
I'm
part
sorry.
Of
I'm here
that's
with
okay.
a young
no
child, and she's saying good morning to everyone.
Yes,
and
that's
so
fine.
I'm going to have to mute so that she doesn't disrupt the call, but I'll be here listening. Okay?
Right, she's on radio. This is you can tell her that this is her first broadcast was this morning. And how
okay.
how old is your beautiful granddaughter?
She is, 16 months.
16 months.
Yeah, she's not even 2 years old yet.
Tell our listeners her name.
Her name is Serenity Rain.
Serenity. So now you have it on air that Serenity was on air at 16 months old and sharing with us about mental food. That's right. You sure did, sweetheart. Thank you so much, Dr. Polnitz. I'm glad you'll be listening in. And we're hoping that other listeners will call in this morning to 646, that's the area code, 727-3758, so that you can discuss with us a little bit more about mental food. Mental food, that is so important. You have no idea what kind of hunger is associated with mental food. So I'm going to go for a minute into our show description, and we're going to talk about hunger, but from a very, very different perspective. Okay, I know that you hear about hunger a lot with the news that comes out about different places in Africa, probably the most prevalent, and China. Believe it or not, yes, China still has its hunger issues there. But there are other countries, too, that are suffering, including the good old United States of America. Hungry. Not just hungry for physical food, but hungry for mental food. You see, they both need to be fed. Both parts of our being need to be fed. Our mental self and our physical self. Oh, it's not a forget. I'm not forgetting the spiritual self. Oh no, the spiritual self is very important. But that's so expansive, the type of information for the spiritual self, that I'm holding that off for another show that'll be coming up at the end of January. As a matter of fact, we'll be talking more about feeding the spiritual self. For right now, I'd like to focus on our episode this morning, What Do You Feed Your Mental Self? And this is part 3 of 3, my friends. And I'll tell you, I am so excited to share with you some information that came down to me. I should say came within me from my perception of God. And I had to share this with you. What do you hunger for? What do you really hunger for? If you perceive yourself as disabled, it may be that you hunger to be abled. Have you any idea what it feels like to be really hungry? Really hungry. The first thought that comes to mind when we speak about hunger is the food we consume by mouth. The horrible pangs of hunger cannot be imagined by most of us, but the statistics are absolutely startling. Yes, they are, my friend. It's very, very sad. If we can imagine the pain and suffering caused by the lack of physical food, if we can understand that, maybe we can then understand how the mind feels when it is not stimulated by good mental food like hope, knowledge, and here's that word again, positivity, and love. And love. Yes, love is a great form of mental food that we haven't touched on yet. So as we conclude this series of What Do You Feed Your Mental Self, I ask that you call in and share your stories, your experiences about how you feed yourself mental food. Our chat line is also open now. And so if for those of you who'd like to say something to us without coming on live on the show, please feel free to type in your responses and tell us what you are hungry for. We open our show every morning, and I always like to give credit to Nazim Rashid for his beautiful music that he shares with us. I also want to push out there that his book Reconnected is selling like wild cakes. Please make sure you look at Amazon.com to purchase his book, okay? And we have, it's very interesting that on September this year, okay, September this year, a group of young people got together and decided to help heal the situation in Haiti. That's another place where hunger is like 1 in 10 children will die due to hunger and malnutrition. It's called the poorest zone in this in Haiti. Okay, and if you want to know more about that, go to helphealhaiti.com and get some information on that. There's an opportunity to join them in their issues of ending world hunger. And I'm not going to focus a lot on the physical hunger this morning and give you a lot of statistics, but I can't help it because I want you to really understand that 36.3 million people, including 13 million children, live in households that experience hunger or the risk of hunger. That's an unbelievable statistic, okay? And 1 in 10 households in the United States, that's about 11.2%. And that's an increase, my friends, an increase, are suffering from hunger or the risk of hunger. And if any of you are wondering, you know, where these statistics come from, you could also always check the World Health Organization, the United States Department of Agriculture, Economic Research Service. There's lots of government publications on hunger that's out there. Well, what does that have to do with today's show? Okay. I wanted you to understand what hunger is, the hunger experience, okay? And what happens to your body. I don't know exactly when this experiment took place. I'm trying to remember. A bunch of participants went through a hunger experience, and they actually went so many weeks, over the course of about 4 weeks, I think it was, they learned the facts about world hunger, and they hear what God has to say about hunger. And then at the end of this 4 weeks, the participants had a chance to fast and served orphaned or destitute children in Africa and the Dominican Republic, and they raised money to end hunger and bring notice to what was going on around the world, especially in that particular nation of the Dominican Republic. It's very sad to me that we think that we know what hunger means, and that's not just in America. It's in other, even Western Europe, that we think that we know what it means to be hungry. And we have no idea what physical hunger is all about. Hunger pains, the pain of hunger, and what that really does to the mind, to the body. When you suffer from hunger pains. And I was interested in saying, what is the difference between hunger pain and hunger pang, P-A-N-G? Hunger pain is a pain in your stomach that won't go away until you are fed. A pain in your stomach that won't go away until you are fed. A hunger pang, P-A-N-G, or I like to think of it as like a ping, is a brief, sharp, intense pain that lasts a few seconds or less because, you're feeling that you need to eat for that moment. It's a difference, okay? It's only for a few seconds, and it really can go either way. But the key factor is the time span. A hunger pang when it lasts seconds or less, and it is a hunger pain when it's lasting usually longer than a few seconds, and it is a horrible, horrible yearning inside of you to fill that empty void in your stomach. What does it feel like? I asked someone who had been hungry for a very, very long time, what does it feel like? And unfortunately, they weren't able to join us on the show this morning, but he gave a very, very beautiful description of what hunger pain is. It feels like your insides are being ripped out, he said. It feels hopeless. It feels like you are, one person had said to me that labor, pregnancy, when you're pregnant and you are going through the process of labor, is the worst pain that you can suffer. Well, I spoke with one of my students from Ethiopia once about that, and she said to me that I know something that is worse than the labor pains of having a child, and that is the hunger pains, that pit in your stomach, that's in your pit of your stomach, that causes all kinds of physiological experiences, the nausea, the headaches, the feeling that your whole body is being torn apart. And all I could think of at that moment when I was listening to her, and tears came to my eyes, because I have experienced the pain of labor. And to think of anything that's even close to that, that could go on and on and on for days, she said, for weeks of this ongoing pain in your stomach. And I really want you to get the gist of what I'm saying, because I'm getting ready to transfer that into the mental food capacity. That when we are just as hungry for mental food, it can mean the same thing. We can feel like we're ready to bust. Our brains cannot handle the hunger that we feel to have stimulation, hope, positivity, love, the yearning for that. I'm not going to put it on the same level as hunger pain, because you feel that so much in your physical body. But certainly in the mental aspect of pain, like a lot of people don't even understand the pain of mental disability. They don't get it. How it feels to have voices going on in your head. And for the sake of just exposing you to that, I'd like to share with you what pain issues are involved with mental and physical disability. The pain not only of the person, but the pain of the family looking at the individual going through deep pain. When you go through this deep pain where you're looking for some kind of relief in your brain and in your body, it's like think for a minute the last time that you felt hungry, looking for a lunch, and you felt that ping, that pang in your stomach, and you needed to fill it. Imagine for a moment feeling that same pain in your brain. And you're reaching out, trying to feed it something, trying to give it something. You go to medications, pills, and for some of us that helps when you're mentally, when you have a mental disability. But sometimes the medication doesn't work, and you still land up hungry for some type of love, some type of support, some type of hope that this will end. The physically or mentally impaired person, I truly believe, has not been created in a way in which the image and likeness of God is less present than in a person without a disability. We have to understand that all of us bring glory to God. But there are economic circumstances, political circumstances that we are involved in on this planet Earth that prevent us from accessing the foods that we need to fill our bellies and to fill our minds. You may say, and I've heard it over and over again by many, many young people, well, if there's a God, why is there so much hunger? Well, are we really responsible? Do we have some responsibility to step in and do something about the hunger that's going on in our nations, in our world? Maybe we need to take some responsibility for what's going on. And then maybe in doing that, we'll understand the overwhelming issue of true hunger, not only in the United States, but all over the world, and what that really means. I can't give you a direct answer about God's intervention in hunger, but I certainly can give you an idea of how we can intervene ourselves as individuals and feed our own bodies mentally and physically. I have been sharing with you some things from Emmett Fox and a number of other schools of thought about how we can feed ourselves mentally. And I'm real concerned that some of the feedback that I've been getting has not hit home on what I'm trying to say. Because we still keep going from the mental food being mixed in with the spiritual food. Spiritual food overcomes, is involved with everything, okay? But when I speak about mental food, I'm speaking about specifically the mentality of an individual, the what we call the cognitive actions, that when we're learning something, our brains are stimulated, therefore our mind is stimulated. And our mind, of course, is connected to the spirituality. But it is what I'm talking about is the separate entity of mental food, of the things, the thoughts that we feed into ourselves about how to feed ourselves. And that when we talk about, let's say, physical fasting, it's almost like child's play in comparison to mental fasting. Even if you've got a great appetite, okay, there's a great book out. I can't remember the author to give her credit, but it's called The Brain Gym. And it's about exercising the brain, which turns into exercising the mind. It massages the mind. It makes us feel good. And that's something that we need to continue to keep doing, is have time for exercise for our physical self, and then time for exercise for our mental self. And you'd be surprised at working both of those in sync, and not and having that as a steady diet, that we can actually change or alter our lives in a way that it's in accordance with the great spiritual laws. Remember the statement, you cannot love you cannot love anyone else unless you love yourself. Now, if you truly get that, then I guess what we're going to conclude with these three series on mental food, these three shows, is that you have to come to a place in your life where you're able to feed yourself by loving yourself first. Then you can reach out and help others to feed themselves physically and mentally. I didn't get that until later on in life, because I was so involved, passionate about helping other people to eat, that I forgot many times to eat myself. And when you forget to eat yourself because you're going so much during the day helping other people, and you look at the time and it's 3 o'clock, I'm just giving you an example. It's 3 o'clock in the middle of the day, and all you remember was maybe a shake at 6 a.m. in the morning. All of a sudden, you feel those hunger pangs yourself, and you're wondering, Why didn't I eat? I'm hungry. I guess I'm hungry. Yeah, I'm hungry. And if you look back on the hours, you've given so much time in to helping other people and feeding other people that you forgot to feed yourself. And in that, you are going to feel the effects, and the after effects of that are pretty bad. And they go on over time. It's a deterioration of your physical body when you don't feed yourself on a regular diet. Not the diet you'd use to lose weight, my friends, but the regular diet that we all have to follow just to make sure that we get the appropriate minerals, proteins, carbohydrates, and that kind of thing into our body. In the same voice, we need to be aware of the need to get the right mental food to us. As we are feeding other people mentally and encouraging them, stopping by and shaking a hand or sharing a book or a kind word. Now, there's a reciprocity or reciprocal or an exchange that happens when you do that. In other words, you are giving to someone else, and in the same time, you're giving to yourself. And that's cool. That's great. But there's also this issue of, are you giving yourself what you need? Because many times, you know, I'm one to truly believe in reviewing reinforcement, practicing what I've already learned. So there's nothing wrong with me sharing with someone some of the basic elements of motivation, of building hope, of feeling good about yourself, about themselves. But there's also a point where, because you're at different levels, different frequencies, that you need to feed yourself at your frequency. And so after you've done enough at the basic level and you've helped other people, now you need to go to the level that you're comfortable at and feed yourself. And that's where I feel that many of us miss it, is because we're thinking that as long as we're helping other people, it's like reinforcing what we already know and what we already think, and we're sending out good thoughts and that kind of thing. But our refueling takes on a different level. How about this one? Maybe this will help drive this point home. When you go and fill up your gas tank, you have a choice of, I think it's 87 octane, 91 octane, and something else, okay? And so if you're constantly running your motor at an 87 octane and you've reached a level in life where you're ready to move up, your motor has changed, and you're ready to move up into a 91 octane level, then you need to feed yourself at that level. You can still feed others where their motor is operating at an 87. But you've got to find a source of fuel at your level too. And that source of fuel becomes your mental food at the level of intellect that you are at. It doesn't mean that you're better than the other person. It just means that you have reached a difference in frequency in the type of foods that you need to feed yourself. It's like an old Bible statement. I might not quote this exactly, but it's about going from milk to solid food. It doesn't mean that the person who's eating solid food is better than the person that's eating the liquid food or milk. It just means you reach a different level. So if we can understand that, we have to understand that when we're dealing with hunger at a level, at different levels, hunger for physical food and hunger for mental food, we deal with it at different levels of our psyche. And so for some of us out there listening, we may be at the 87 octane level. We may be at the level where we need liquid food for right now instead of solid food. We may be at the level where we've been at solid food. Hello, now get this one. We've been at solid food, and now we have to go back. We have to go back and do a liquid diet for a while. In other words, we've reached a level of intellect where we were feeding ourselves very good mental and physical food, and somehow we lost track, or we lost the track of what we were on. That could be because we got involved with drugs, or the wrong relationship, or we were on a pathway to finish a program at school and we dropped out. We may have been a teacher in many different arenas and we burned out. And so the same mental and physical food that we would have had at one level doesn't feed us anymore. It makes us feel uncomfortable because we can't stay there. We've got to go back and retry it again. And for many of us, that's heartbreaking because we remember that hunger when we were at the beginning. We remember that hunger. It's just like a child growing into adolescence. And many of us, we may think we want to go back to adolescence, but look around at your world today. Do you really want to go back to adolescence? Because it's tough out there than many of our young people. And unfortunately, most of them don't know where to get mental food. Oh, God, they don't even know where to get good physical food. You know, don't get me started on the fast food nation and what we're feeding ourselves physically and the lack of good positive thoughts, the video games that are out there that are not good mental food at all. I'm sorry if I'm offending anyone out there. I don't mean to. And it's very rare that I express a very strong opinion about something I'm going to get a little judgmental here. As a psychologist, I'm getting judgmental. As a professor, because I've seen it too often, I don't like many of the video games out there, especially the so-called mature ones. I think that they are breeding a generation of folks that are insensitive to pain, insensitive to each other, and I'm extremely concerned about those who are manufacturing, designing those games and their responsibility to humanity. And I'm also concerned about those that are playing those games and even teaching their children these games of blood and terror, ripping heads off, shooting in communities, innocent people ducking bullets, and that kind of thing. I it's just very hard for me to sit and watch, even as far as my grandsons are concerned or any other child, even wanting to play a game of that sort. Most of the time, they don't even understand the impact that makes on their mental capacity, because they're seeing it as fun and games. But ask yourself, if you're a teacher, academically a teacher, or a teacher who is outside of the academic arena, because you may be a teacher of being a mom as a teacher, and being a Sunday school teacher or a community leader, a religious leader, are you saying things that will help parents understand the detriment of the type of mental food that they're feeding their children? Because these are the students who sit inside of our classrooms, that when we try to teach a humane way of being, a humane way of interacting in society, when we try to teach our children, our students, about good physical food, many of them laugh at it. And they're not even open to the fact that, the perfect example, I was just sharing with someone the other day, a young person, about salads, and they said, well, I eat a lot of salads, Apple, I said. And I said, well, are you aware that that much of the salad that they give you in a lot of these places, the lettuce, is not even nutritious, because it's not really green food, and that's why mixed greens are even better. And she kind of turned her nose up and said, well, gosh, you know, I mean, everywhere I turn, it's like, even when I try to eat good, somebody's always saying that that's not the best thing. But it's only about knowledge that we gain power. And so as I'm trying to educate her and so many other people about the good foods that we can eat, and especially when you're young, the good foods that you put into your system now, physically, and the good mental foods that you put into your mind now, are going, it's like you're putting away for a rainy day your savings. They are your savings. They're something to go back on later on. The reason why you may see, and I've heard this too, you may see older people that are not doing very well in life, and you may say, well, gosh, I can't believe this is a 25, 26-year-old student in psychology class and said to me, I can't believe how many older people are out there that don't have it together. They get sick. you know, they have severe depression and anxiety and all of these issues, and they're homeless, and I just don't understand that. Well, it may be that when they were your age at 25, 26, they didn't put a little savings account aside within their own bodies, eating good foods and being willing to listen to what is good. And also mental food, that maybe they didn't associate with people who were open to motivating them and helping them to feel a sense of hope and positivity. So instead of knocking the older generation, the baby boomers, who may not be doing that well, turn around and look in the mirror and work on you. I encourage you. I encourage you, if you are a baby boomer, if you are over 50 years old, there's still time. There's still time. I have a friend of mine that's 85 years old that took the time in her life, later in her life, to start working on her physical and mental food, her bank account, her mental and physical bank accounts, and turned her life around where she's now at 85, still hopping and jumping in and out of her car and able to reach out and help people at different levels and still feed herself at her own intellectual level. I don't even mind saying her name because I'm just so impressed by her. O.C. Perry, she's joined us on the show before, and she started the first multicultural nursing association in the United States. And she's just a wonderful person who could speak a lot about stability and building up that bank account for your later years, and that it can start at any time, and she encourages people to do that. At White Apple Institute, we encourage our students and our teachers to really get it together and start feeding yourself first. Look at your own physical diet. Look at your own mental diet. For your mental diet, start associating with people who motivate you. Start looking at television shows that stimulate your mind. I particularly like the History Channel, not that I'm pushing any particular one out there, because I like the Science Channel and a lot of documentaries. But there are things that stimulate your mind. But you could watch a dramatic movie and still get something out of it. Allow yourself to think about what's being displayed and share it. There's nothing like, you know, you take in the knowledge. I know a lot of people who read books. They read a lot of books, and they don't share them. So what good is it? It might have helped you, and that's good. That's good. It's helped you. But now reach that next step of sharing it with someone else. Talk about some good mental food when you do that. A guy by the name of Maslow, and I spoke about his work before, but I want to give you a different take on it now. Abraham Maslow, for those of you who are familiar, if you're not familiar, you can Google this, Maslow, M-A-S-L-O-W, and he talks about the hierarchy of needs for the human being. But my point in bringing him up at this moment is that when we talk about making sure that we have our own mental food in place, we also have to talk about how we share that mental food with other people. And I know that many of us, as I spoke about earlier, go around and help other people and even forget to eat ourselves, to eat good foods for ourselves, to feed ourselves physically and mentally. But there are many people who are not involved in helping others on that level. And I encourage you to think about doing that. Because as Abraham Maslow speaks about, he talks about this this pyramid. Like we have a food pyramid, and then we have this mental food pyramid. The physical food and mental food again. And the pyramid for the food starts with what you want to put at the bottom to be the most nutritious for you. And in the food pyramid, it's the carbohydrates, the beans, and that kind of thing. Now, I'm not going to go ahead and repeat that again. You can listen to a prior show and get that information. I think it was last week's show. But on the mental capacity issue, Abraham Maslow talks about at the top of the pyramid, self-actualization, and it's a smaller part of the pyramid. And the reason why is because not many people reach that level. But that level is where you begin to start sharing what you know. And when you share what you know, it is a way of feeding yourself. So we feed ourselves physically and mentally the basic nutrients that we need. But then there's also the higher nutrients. And for those who are interested in the mental food capacity, we're talking about self-actualization, reaching your full potential, and being able to share that with others, being able to fluctuate, to move from one level to the next, to help your fellow man or woman, to help a child, to understand the value of physical food and mental food. I recently came across, and I don't know if Dr. Ponitz is available at this moment, but if she's available and we've got about 10 minutes left on the show, hopefully she can come on and talk about some of the physical food that she's exposed me to. And part of that is through a product that uses hemp seed as a pulp. And hemp seed is full of antioxidants, and it fills you up, and it makes a big difference in your life. And I've seen it working for her really well. And she has a website that you can go to find out more about this type of food that's good physical food for us, that feeds our brain. And that website is 2208471.myforevergreen.com. And if you go there, you can click on some interesting products that are available. And I don't usually endorse many products, but because they are Forever Green distributors are coming on board at White Apple Institute, and so in a roundabout way, they're actually sponsoring the show by bringing in information. I don't mind sharing this with them, because any products that are sold, they're feeding it back to White Apple Institute, which helps us to continually feed students mentally and even physically. We have a lot of connections with the Save the Children and organizations, and Amnesty International and things of that sort, that are worldwide organizations that are doing wonderful things out there in the world to bring good physical and mental food into homes that are very, very hungry. In our last few minutes, I can't help but go back for a moment on hunger, because I just want to drive home a point. There is nothing more important than understanding the severity of hunger pain. When you talk about hunger pain, you are talking about an experience that can't be matched by anything that's out there. It's frustrating, it's tearful, it causes all kinds of disorders, and so you don't want to ever get to that point where hunger becomes a big issue in your life. And I hope that you are aware of the intensity that physical hunger can bring. Take a look at your world and really get realistic about what's out there. And then I hope when you're exploring the issues of hunger for food, for physical food, that you remember this show and what we talked about today. And you remember the importance of mental food. And that there's a way to understand how that correlates or matches or associates with the physical pain of yearning for food. It's there. So what we need to do is, I need to put this plug in. It just came to mind because I was thinking about it the other night, about why we focus so much on Africa as a place of where you find starvation. And I do agree that probably in the numbers, there are more people hungry there than anywhere else in the world. Not the whole African continent, though. You misunderstand that there are many countries that compose Africa where there are people that are not hungry there. So I need to put that plug in that just because someone is from Africa, don't make the assumption that they have suffered from hunger. Because they may indeed have come from a beautiful home with a swimming pool and their mom and dad's driving Mercedes-Benz. And many of us don't see those pictures of people in Africa on that level. So that's something that I'm giving to a real good friend of mine who's from Africa, who's always saying to me, she's from Kenya, that she does not understand why the media and most people, especially in the United States, are not aware that there are people that do very, very well in Africa. But I also wanted to bring out the point that hunger is everywhere. And we have this thing where recently I have a student who's trying to come to the United States from Nigeria. And his hunger is that he feels that he will get the mental and physical food that he cannot get in his own community. And that may indeed be very true for him. But one of the things that I'm concerned about is whether or not he and many others in different countries, since this is a global radio broadcast, are you aware that America is suffering from hunger pains too? I gave you some statistics at the beginning of the show. You know, it's horrifying to know that in the country that many people think is the oasis of the world, that we have people here who are homeless and hungry. We have people here that have college degrees and have lost their homes and can't find a job. So don't make the assumption that living in America is the all-out answer. to your prosperity, to your physical and mental food. You may find that if you work on finding resources in your own community for physical and mental food, you may be in a better spot than trying to travel halfway across the world to what you perceive as an oasis, that you perceive as an answer. I'm not going to go as far, because I believe in America. I believe in our country. And I hear a lot of people say that we're actually turning into a third world country. And I refuse to believe that, because I do believe that we can still be an oasis for some people. But there has to be a reality that if you're not aware of how to feed yourself already, mentally and physically, before you move and go to any country, any place, then you're not going to be prepared to survive in another place if you don't have it together where you are. Does that make sense? Anyway, as we close the show this morning, I just want to thank all of you for being part of where we are. And I'm so sorry. I did not mean to ignore the person that is chatting in this morning. Thank you so much for your chat response. I appreciate that. Yes, and a chat guest is just bringing out, reinforcing that there's hunger all over the world, and that she appreciates the talk on mental food. So we thank you very much, guest 1718, for your input. We look forward to hearing from all of you again next week. And we wish you love and peace. This is Professor Applewhite signing out, thanking Nazim again for his great music. Let's listen to him as we close our show. Lots of blessings and prayers for those who are homeless and hungry and need the physical food. But also, we wish you great mental food and the ability to understand that concept.